Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Kyle. I'm doing great. Welcome officially to the new NFL year, and it feels like we got a lot of stuff to cover, man.
Yeah, it feels like a year's worth of information. No, Packers were busy in both senses of reshaping the team, adding players, letting players walk or releasing players. So lots of movement to be had and to talk about, for sure.
Yeah. It's, you know, every year they say every team's different. And I think we can all agree this year there's some familiar faces we might not see. A lot of stuff going on.
So the first thing I want to talk about, let's be honest. We saw the David Bakhtiari release coming for a while now, it seems like. So when that news hit that David Bakhtiari was to be released by the Packers, was cut, it was sad. I think it's sad that he's gone. I think it's sad how it ended these last 4 years, really. I guess my one feeling is thankful for all the great years we had. At one point, he was not just the Packers' best offensive lineman, not just a first team All-Pro left tackle, but arguably the best offensive lineman in the league. So the fact the Packers were able to even have that, fourth round pick, right?
Yep, fourth round pick.
I mean, thank you, Ted Thompson. What a gift. What a pick. He was undersized, yep. Right? Like, that was his whole thing coming out of college. He's fast, but undersized. And I mean, maybe the first couple years kind of got overpowered a little bit. Once he got, you know, into year three, year four, and really got his true NFL pro body strength, I mean, he was, I would say, unstoppable. Basically, what he's doing, he's stopping everyone else. Like, he was barely ever giving up pressures. And so, amazing Packers career for David Bakhtiari in spite of the way it ended. So, I'm going to focus on the positivity, the all-pro seasons when he was, in fact, the best offensive lineman in the league.
Oh, for sure. I mean, rookie year, he got tossed in there, you know. And I remember when he came in, it's like, oh, crap. We're throwing this rookie out there that we don't – fourth-round pick. And yeah, like you said, you know, he had his ups and downs early, but like they knew right away this kid was going to be great. I really feel Hall of Fame career. I agree with Aaron Rodgers there. I wish we would have got a ring with him. That would have cemented a Hall of Fame career. I firmly, firmly believe if we weren't missing him in a few of those playoff losses, we probably could have won a Super Bowl. And that's how great he was, right? I mean, that is one guy playing one of the most important positions. And it was a mess in those games when we didn't have him, you know, playing musical chairs up front. Even when he came back for the one game this year, he was dominant, right? And then to your point, it's just really sad how it ended.
Now that was against the Bears. Let's be fair.
Yeah, right. Let's be fair.
I think everyone dominated.
Yeah.
He got to give him the still finger. He showed he could. Yeah.
Got to give him the finger to wave goodbye. So it was a good little ending there. But yeah, man, I feel really for him because, you know, you hear a lot of crap out there. But this dude really tried to get back on the field and just couldn't get back on the field. I mean, nobody thought it was going to take this long. So, unfortunately, it might be the last you see of him. If it's not, great. I wish him well. But, yeah, totally. That's a Hall of Fame career right there, for sure.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers is advocating him to join the Jets. As of the moment of this recording, which is on March 15th, Bakhtiari has not signed with anyone, so still a free agent. If the one thing people talk about, if you could undo like one player's injury in their career, like you just like take this injury away and have their career. But a lot of people will say Bo Jackson, but greedily I'll say Bakhtiari. If he didn't tear his ACL, that like to your point, they got to the NFC Championship game, lost by 4 points, you know, against Tom Brady, to be fair, but. You know, there's some games where, okay, they got blown out by so much, one player isn't going to make a difference. When they were, you know, fourth and eight they had to go for or something, or fourth and five, whatever it was, they were 5 yards away from winning that game. Cumulative 5 yards over the course of a game. I think David Bakhtiari can account for that. So I definitely think they at least would have had a shot against Mahomes that year. Ultimately, Tom Brady and the Bucks kind of dismantled the Chiefs offense. And I don't know that the Packers pass rush was that good. Still had Kenny Clark, so maybe they could have been disruptive enough. And with Bakhtiari and that great offensive line scored enough on offense that you're right. Certainly that year, I think they could have won in 2021. I think that is very much. Wait, 2020. Never mind. I
Yeah,
think we got my years mixed up now.
yeah,
But yeah,
20
the
season,
2020
correct.
season, right? Because it did happen December 2020, and honestly, three full seasons it affected, because it affected that 2020 season, and then 21 played one game, 22 basically played half the game in and out of the lineup, 23 one game again. It's kept needing to, different surgeries, but it's all one injury. It's just one
Yeah.
devastating injury that he was never able to recover from. And that's the, I don't know, that's the unfortunate thing, because he was at the top of his game at the time. And yeah, it could have, I won't overreact. I'll say that it probably could have given them one ring. Maybe you're right, maybe multiple, but I certainly think they could have won one Super Bowl with him if
It would
that
have made
just
a
that one
difference.
year if he could.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the pressure that Aaron Rodgers is on, especially in that Bucs game, you're right. I mean, he slows down some of that, right? I mean, we got dismantled at the tackle positions. I think he got sacked like five or six times. Bakhtiari shuts down that left side. I don't care who's playing over there. I mean, I know Shaq Barrett was really good and stuff like that, but I'll take David Bakhtiari every day. So woulda, shoulda, coulda. I'd like to believe it, but I feel for the guy and how it ended for sure.
One thing I'm happy for him, not so much for the Packers cap space, but he did get that big extension like weeks before the injury. So at least like that, the financially, I mean, that was already his like third contract, but that was the big payday, worthy of someone who was the best offensive lineman in the league. Just sucks for the Packers cap wise that they weren't really able to see any of that contract at all in terms of production from it. But good for Bakhtiari to get his money. He definitely deserved it.
Yeah, he deserved it. Yeah, and I think that, I think fans look at it like that, like, oh, of course he got paid and then he gets hurt. Trust me, he did pick that, and that's just part of the game, man. So it sucks how it ended for sure. But these are humans too, and I wish them all the best.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see where Bakhtiari ends up. Didn't stop the Packers, though, from keeping some key players. So, okay, maybe some of these aren't so key. They re-signed Tyler Davis at tight end and Corey Ballantyne at corner. And we talked about the need for, there was really like essentially three defensive backs with any an actual NFL playing time experience, one of which was just a rookie last year, but with three defensive backs under contract, in which you think they're part of the team. So, Ballantyne, he had to play a lot more snaps last year than expected. That cornerback depth is important. So getting a guy like Ballantyne back, I think, is important. We obviously still need to address into the secondary. Tyler Davis at tight end, whatever. I think that tight end depth isn't an issue, I don't think, and it's easy to acquire that. They've got the two young guys to be the principal of the team. So just add depth behind them. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Davis is still not even the third tight end and they still keep making moves anyway. He's maybe the fourth or fifth guy. He might not even make the team. But yeah, I think Ballantyne especially. I don't know the terms yet of the deal, but I think that one's a good low-key depth signing is our first thing to talk about, or low-depth re-signing. Sure, that's what people want to talk about off the top, right? Corey Ballantyne.
Right, and to both of them. I mean, your team isn't always full. You still have to field 45 on game day, right? 53 roster. You need guys like this to also play special teams because they both play special teams. So that's a key. And to your point, secondary, you can never have enough guys that you can put in there and trust. And that's one thing Ballantyne did last year. We were so beat up in the secondary. Valentine and Valentine both played their butts off, and we won big games with them out there. So this is a guy that you can put out there in a pinch, even though you don't want him to be your everyday, second guy. Jair's number one, but you don't know where Stokes is going to be. It's a great signing. You bring him back, he competes, and if someone beats him out, that guy must have had a really good or is really good because this is a good football player. Same thing with Davis. Yeah, he's number three right now, and he could be number four. I'm sure we're gonna bring in some more tight end bodies because Green Bay loves their tight ends. But you got to be able to play special teams.
They seem to, for the years, not like good tight ends, but they do like tight
Right.
ends.
Oh yeah, we'll bring in seven of them in. But yeah, right. But it looks like we got two good ones
Oh, yeah.
right young. So Tyler Davis, yeah, again, if someone beats him out, that just makes our team better. But special team snaps matter. Special teams, we know how. how much it's killed us in the past. So yeah, if you can play special teams at a decent level, come on, we'll take you. So good signings.
Be the Rich Bisaccia effect of the special teams is key, but if there's one player that's helped the Packers special teams over the last couple of years, it's Keyshawn Nixon. Talk about special teams, secondary, so important. He is incredibly important to both. All-pro returner, so at the very least you have that, and we talk about Valentine on the outside, but with all the injuries to the rest of the secondary, I mean, I will say guys like Anthony Johnson, Jonathan Owens, they stepped up and kind of made the middle decent, but one guy I think that just kept the secondary together consistently all year was Keyshawn Nixon playing in that slot cornerback role. So you do two very important roles that the Packers re-signed to a 3-year, $18 million deal. That's good money for Nixon, but I also think that's good for the Packers. You've got these two roles filled, accounting for $6 million per year on the cap. That's good money for a starting slot corner, I think. Like, you know, the true elite corners are going to make a lot more than 6 million. So, I mean, good for Nixon to get his money, but this seems like a very team-friendly deal for the Packers. I love this move. I thought this was so important to re-sign Keyshawn Nixon. Again, 3 years, $18 million. Could be worth up to 19.2. So even if he hits all of his incentives and the Packers have all the success, still not breaking the bank for this. So it's great to have him locked up. 3 years. I think that was especially key to this is long term, not having to worry about this returner and slot corner question year over year. You've now got 3 years of Nixon, and at this cap hit, you see some contract sign where it's like, okay, by year 3 or 4, you might release them. At this point, he's probably gonna see an extension more likely than be released in that third year. So 3 solid years of Keyshawn Nixon, I think, is fantastic.
And I think that contract shows his value to Green Bay. You know, right away, you know, I just heard rumble, man, that's kind of high. Well, they expect him to help on defense, right? Forget just the special teams all pro. They're not just paying him for that. And that's huge because late in the season, cold games, you want to, you know, flip the field or change momentum. You've got a guy like this that makes a big play on special teams, but he's going to play on defense. And that's where they really, I think, you know, kind of paid him this money, where he's going to have a lot of snaps. You got a new coach in, and like you're saying, he played slot. He's got great ball skills, right? That interception against Patrick Mahomes last year, well, I mean, he looked like the receiver. I mean, he played that ball perfectly. New defensive coordinator who likes to play three safeties. I could see him kind of moving around, trying out like a safety slash come down play the nickel also, because you got a guy with good ball skills. Hey, let him sit back there and make plays on the ball. So he's such an athlete and dog. You want this guy on the field, right? He's going to make good things happen. Yeah, did he make a few mistakes? Sure, he did. You know, but new to a new role, this year, I think you're going to see a jump on his defensive side of play. So I think it's a great signing. I mean, again, this is a piece that you have to have. Not everybody's going to be a superstar, but you need your lunch pail guys that are going to make plays, and he's one of them.
So one last player that the Packers ended up re-signing, but to me, it's part of a larger conversation, which is why I wanted to save it for this. But the Packers, I guess we haven't seen the full terms yet, but the Packers, actually, I don't even know if he's officially signed yet either, but they're expected to re-sign AJ Dillon. I don't know if you've heard anything specific about AJ Dillon, but it looks like he will return to the Packers right now.
I did, and I do have his contract, and
Oh.
it's so team friendly. It was a no-brainer. So it's year one contract, no voids allowed. It's a minimum base salary of 1.12 million capped. So that's all that's guaranteed, and there can be potential bonuses, but that's all that's going to hit against the cap. So it's basically a veteran minimum with some incentives, which is great because guess what? Which AJ Dillon are you going to get? You're going to get the guy that starts the year super slow and kind of looks like he's stuck in mud, or you're going to get the guy from 2 years ago that's like, wow, this guy could be a starter. So there's a little bit of incentive there. Must not have been a big market for him because, yeah, this is so much in Green Bay's favor. Hey, you know, he loves Wisconsin. Wisconsin loves him. So maybe it's just a discount, you know, and him to maybe show up and the next year earn a bigger contract going forward. But, yeah, it's essentially a 1 year deal. So it's good. You know, yeah, mixed bag on AJ Dillon, where if we would have lost him, I don't think it would have been hurting anybody's feelings other than a cool dude. But bringing him back, it doesn't hurt nothing. So it's another good move.
I just don't want him to hurt Elgton Jenkins again. That's the one thing. Like, is his vision so bad that it's actually a date? Because he's so huge, it's actually a danger to your offensive linemen. I wonder if teams avoided him for that. I suppose the one positive of, frankly, him failing to live up to his second round draft capital expectations is that you can re-sign him so cheap because no one wants him. So I guess there's the positive there. But I'm going to be honest, Jesse, not to throw just cold water on this episode. I hate what Ryan Gutekunst did at running back, because this isn't just re-signing AJ Dillon. It's also releasing Aaron Jones to then sign former Raider Josh Jacobs to a massive contract. So let's just put all the names on the table, and now the Packers' backfield will be Josh Jacobs, AJ Dillon. But to be honest, I'd rather just have Aaron Jones. I'm not gonna lie. I think them releasing him after they wanted to, seems like, negotiate a different contract. They basically wanted to cut his salary in half. And so Jones said no, and they just released him. And then he went and signed basically the same contract, which it would have been. It would, like, Packers trying to, reduce his cap hit this year would have been about to $7.5 million. He went and signed a 1-year, $7 million deal with the Minnesota Vikings. Ugh. But I think what to be Aaron Jones more than Dillon and Jacobs. A great route runner from the backfield. And as important as the run game is, the pass game is more important in the NFL. And to me, a running back that could be a true difference maker as a route runner like Jones is far more important than anything you get from Dillon or Josh Jacobs. So I hate that they went and completely abandoned the Aaron Jones train to go for these other running backs. Because more than on the field, he's a true leader for your offense. And that's not in this very young team. You're losing Bakhtiari, another one of those big leaders. Like, they're in need of those true veteran presence on the team that helps everyone get better. The true leaders of the locker room. It seemed undoubtedly that Aaron Jones was one of the team leaders last year. So I just don't think it's worth it to lose him for this. And I mean, they could have re-signed Dillon and brought Jones back, I think, pretty easily. So really what I'm mad at is this massive Josh Jacobs contract, a 4-year, $84 million deal, which I get that he was young coming into the NFL, but 4-year contracts on second contract running backs? Not sure I love that. He's certainly a capable pass catcher. He's proven that in his career, but it's not the same route running that you get from Jones. He plays so many snaps that, you get enough dump offs that, yeah, he can catch 50 passes in a year, not necessarily because he's earning them beyond the line of scrimmage, just because, hey, you're out on the field and you're the dump down option. You're just playing that many snaps that you're going to catch passes. So he's capable, but I don't think he's an elite pass catcher in any means. So while I think Josh Jacobs is a great inside the tackles runner, probably better than Jones, to be honest, you know what the Packers are going to do. They're just going to take him off near the goal line and put AJ Dillon in to run into the back of offensive linemen and not get the touchdown anyway. At least I hope not. Because to me, if you're signing Jacobs to this massive deal, forget Dylan's presence on the team. Josh Jacobs has to be the workhorse. We're giving him 250 touches. He's going to truly impact this game to be even close to worth this deal, I think. But a 4-year contract, I would have much rather gone into, like, okay, 1-year deal for Jones and Dylan, and then you restructure with Jones to extend it to 2 years. And you keep worrying about this kind of 1 year at a time. I really don't like giving a 4-year contract to a running back coming off his rookie deal. I don't like this at all, to be honest. So, as much as a lot of other good things Gutekunst did in free agency, I think he completely mishandled this running back situation. I think it's pretty bad. So, that's my negative, pessimistic take. Maybe Jesse has a different take, though. What do you think of Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones?
Oh, you know me. I always look for the good in everything. So listen, Aaron Jones is probably my favorite Packer. Just he's a great human being, first of all, right? Like that dude's awesome. Like loved by the teammates, loved by everybody. When Ryan Gutekunst says you're the lifeblood of this offense, I don't think that was just speaking. It's the truth, right? The dude's just lovable. He's a leader. All that. So that's where it stung the most. And then you take it as the playoff run, where I think he had the best stretch of his career. Yeah, it stings right on the surface, right? So looking into it, it's like you can't ask. They asked the guy 2 years in a row to take a pay cut. That's kind of spitting in his face. I agree. It's a business that we got to look at it as a business. But from a fan perspective, it's like, come on, guys, what are you doing? this guy's given everything to this organization. He wants to be a Packer, and then you're asking him to take this big pay cut. I get why he's pissed. I hate that he's going to the Vikings. You know that I think that was, yeah, don't like that. And
And
I'm gonna
how
feel for
quickly
him.
it happened, it's I feel like he was negotiating with three teams, the Vikings, the Lions, and the Bears, just to stick it to the Packers. And I love Aaron Jones so much that I'm all for it. Because this I'm gonna hate to have to see them play against him twice. He's gonna look awful in purple. I mean, I can't lie. I mean, I usually like purple jerseys, but man, the Vikings, oh God, it's gonna be awful to see. But honestly, kudos to him. Because that's going to stick it to the Packers really good, and that's what they deserve. Sorry.
Well,
Sorry
I
to
tell him
interrupt with
good
my
luck
negativity
because
again, but I love Aaron Jones too.
I tell him good luck. I mean, because Greg Jennings thought the same thing, and we all know how that ended. So I think he's got an uphill mountain to climb on that. But
I wasn't so sad seeing Greg Jennings go. Let's just say
well,
that. Not this sad.
oh no, trust me, I'm sad. I'd love for him to be. I honestly thought for a moment when they got Jacobs, like, oh, they're going to keep them both, right? That was kind of what was floating, try to keep
Oh
them both.
man, Kirk Benkert
Yeah.
tweeted it out too, right? And like, I don't know if, like, I love following him, former Packer. But yeah, he was best running back tandem in the league. And then yeah, a few
Yeah, it
hours
sounded
later.
great, right? You know, so I see where the Packers are coming from. Again, I don't agree with this, you know, asking him to take that big of a cut, but the injuries. I mean, how many games did he play last year in the regular season? Four, you know, and then yes, he was healthy for the playoffs, had a great run. So I think that's they're looking at it. You're a 30-year running back, going to be a 30-year running back. That's kind of if you look at the science and just the history of running backs, that's the wall, right? Unless you're Frank Gore, you hit 30, everything kind of changes. Not to say that it's, you know, I think Aaron Jones is a young 30 because he hasn't been that big workhorse back that gets, you know, 25 plus touches every game. But, you know, I think that's where Green Bay was coming from their perspective. Yeah, kind of a slap in the face to him. But when those contracts broke down last week, I think they panicked. They're like, oh crap, what are we going to do now? Because we're not going to get this done. Who knew what the market was going to be, you know? So they essentially said, well, let's get a guy 4 years younger. Removed 2 years ago was the best back in football. I mean, he had a 2,000 yard all-purpose yard season. His PFF was in the 90s. Josh Jacobs was a monster. Last year it was a little bit down, but the Raiders suck, man. He was the only guy on that team, you know, with no quarterback. Of course, they had Devontae that you're scheming for. But so they're like, I think they just really pivoted quick and panicked. They want that back in this offense that can make it go. I didn't know a lot about Josh Jacobs, you know, as the person. Just, you know, just he was a good running back, right? Everything I've heard, he's like Aaron Jones 2.0. He's been the lifeblood of that Raiders team. Antonio Pierce said that. He's like, everybody, when this team was down and we could have just folded up the season, that dude carried everybody. He was the locker room leader. He has no problem carrying everybody on his back. He'll call out people when they're not playing good, and he will step up to help. He's essentially like an Aaron Jones. Like everything you hear about Aaron Jones was this stuff was talking about with Josh Jacobs. Peter Bukowski had a Locked On Raiders, and same thing. Like this guy who's in the locker room has done interviews, said the same thing about Josh Jacobs. He is, you're gonna love this guy. He hates to lose. He's here to win. Last year's he did hit stride last year till about halfway through the season because he has had a lot of carries on him as a young back. But he said this guy is going to flourish in Green Bay's offense because he can run routes, which you the Raiders have not used him like that. But when he was at Alabama, he was running receiver routes, so that is in there. A little bit more physical than Aaron Jones, you know, bigger. I think he's like 25 pounds heavier. You know, probably not as elusive, but he had the most broken tackles in the NFL over the last 3 seasons. If you look at the numbers just from the start of his career, he's top five in everything. So this guy does produce. Again, am I going to miss Aaron Jones? Hell yeah. Am I saying he's better than Aaron Jones? That's yet to be determined because that's hard to believe because Aaron Jones, I mean, look at his career. He's over 5 yards per carry. You can't, he's produced every time he's been on the field too. So I don't, while I'm not as negative as you and think this could be bad, I think this is the best case scenario. That contract, it's $48 million over 4, but essentially this first year, it's only a $5 million cap hit. So That's where I really wanted to hear if we were going to get Jones back, because it was such a low early number that you could have them both on the team. So that sucks that it broke down that bad, and within a day Jones was signed. That's what sucks.
Well, and to be honest, like I don't love that it's front loaded. I'd rather it be front loaded than back loaded, because if to me, if it's so little at the start, and I'm gonna pull up Spotrac and look at his contract right now, but to
Yeah, I
me,
got
I don't
both.
want to be paying the running back when he's 29 a big contract amount, which is, to be fair, why they released Jones in the first place. So, I
Right.
guess
Well, the dead
just.
cap goes way down. So, yeah. So after 2 years, it's an easy cut. So,
All right, fair enough. So I guess it's mostly next year then. But to be honest,
right.
like this is also when we're talking about Jordan Love extension. Like it's gonna have to kick in next year if they're gonna do it this offseason. So, and one thing to just touch on, you talked about Aaron Jones not playing last year. He played two fewer games than Josh Jacobs did. So Jacobs also dealing with
Last year.
injuries.
Right. Yeah, he was banged up last year too and had his worst career. So it's like, which Jacobs are you getting? Are you getting 2022, where the guy was an absolute stud, or are you getting last year's where he was banged up, like you said? And it's okay, what are you getting? So yeah, it's a little bit of a gamble, I think. But I
You know
think
what?
if you
I'll
like
even
he's younger.
say, you know what? You know what? Actually, after looking at this contract, I'll give Gutekunst some credit, because the way it is structured, like while there's no big cap it this year, it looks like all the guarantees are being paid out through a signing bonus. So
Exactly.
essentially,
Yep.
they could even cut him next year if they really wanted to. His cap hit
Kind of a 4 1 year
goes to,
deals, right?
you know what? And okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess you could look at it like you're almost going year to year. And I mean, I would say they're unlikely to cut him after next year, but if he does two seasons and it's not great, I could definitely see him, you know, reducing his cap hit in half starting in 2026. So
Yeah.
yeah, you're right. Maybe could even be a 1 year deal. So yeah, okay. All right. I'll give Gutekunst credit. It's not, you see, I hear 4 year deal for running back. I overreact a little
Oh
bit
yeah.
there. So yeah,
Oh, I'm
good to
with
do
you.
the research to figure it out. But I guess the one thing I will push back on that you said, yes, he led the league in scrimmage yards in 2022, first team all pro running back. I still don't think he was the best running back in the NFL. I still think Christian McCaffrey and honestly Austin Eckler as pass catchers were so integral to their team's success. You know, Josh Jacobs. Again, the 53 receptions, which is one off his career high, 400 yards, but most of his success came just on the sheer number of carries, 340 attempts. And to Jacob's credit, that's probably why he was injured this year. I mean, he had almost a
Took a
400
beating.
touch season in 2022, so it should have been expected. Yeah, 2023 he'd re regress somewhat and maybe be more injured. So I also think there was part of the you know. He wanted the long-term extension, not the franchise tag. So you're also maybe playing to protect yourself a little bit. Now he's got that long-term extension done. Now he's got that big payday. Now it seems okay if he can maybe, you're right, return to 2022 prominence. And while I'll admit he's better than Aaron Jones, if I look at their careers, Jacobs, you know, his 2,000-yard scrimmage season in 2022. If you were to rank every season both Jones and Jacobs has, Jones is the next three in scrimmage yards. 2019, he had 1,558 scrimmage yards. In 2022, he had 1,516. In 2020, he had 1,459. The next best season of either is then Josh Jacobs, actually his rookie year, funny enough, when he had 1,316 scrimmage yards. So Jacobs had this one incredible year. And he's been pretty consistent through his career, but I still just I'd st I don't care that he's 29. I'd still prefer to have Aaron Jones on this team. And if it cost bringing in, like you have to keep Jones, you don't get Josh Jacobs, I would have been perfectly okay with that. And yeah, maybe down the line you've got to rework things at running back. But as we also mentioned, it's almost 1 year contracts with Jacobs anyway. So I think part of it is there was a lot of running backs available this year. And quite a few of them did get longer term contracts. So maybe next year's free agent running class isn't as good. So if you do want to move on from Jones, Dylan next year, there may not be as good of a viable option. I've been critical of Josh Jacobs, but yes, he is an incredible running back. So I do, the more I've talked about this,
Yeah.
and maybe you've helped with this too, Jesse, but I've kind of come along to this isn't so bad. Still would I still would prefer Aaron Jones. I think that's the part that I just can't get over. I
Oh, I
think
agree.
this team is trying to win a Super Bowl this year from the success they just had. And so to me, I think Aaron Jones is better for a Super Bowl run than Josh Jacobs. So that's the part that I just can't quite reconcile with. And to do it to one of your true leaders, and yeah, maybe Josh Jacobs comes in and becomes that, but I still don't love this move. I still don't even really like it, but I don't hate it.
Oh,
So I can understand
right.
this move being
If
made.
I
Go ahead, sorry.
could, choose Aaron Jones being a Packer, going Josh Jacobs, I'm with you 100%. I want Aaron. I wanted Aaron Jones to retire Packer. There's no doubt about it. But when that ship sailed, look at, I mean, I prefer this better than Derrick Henry. I really do. I think Henry's older, took a beating, doesn't really fit what we want to do. And I think Jacobs is the closest thing to Aaron Jones to what we want to do. So. Again,
I'll be
yeah,
honest, I wanted Barkley. If they were going to do this, I think I mean the Eagles paid pretty big for Saquon Barkley, but I think that's the true difference maker as a receiver and frankly as an outside runner. I mean Saquon Barkley is just the faster, stronger version of Aaron Jones. That I could have accepted. I would have preferred that even if it cost more. So, I guess to a certain extent maybe they get the value version of Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs, even though they're two completely different runners, and you take it a certain way. But yeah, I'll agree with that. I think I'd rather have Jacobs than Derrick Henry. I'll
right.
and frankly, yeah, outside of Barkley, I don't think there was a free agent running back that I'd rather have than Jacobs. So I'll give it to that credit.
And I don't think they're done. I mean, if you look at this, with the Jacobs, running back is probably the spot where you can plug and play, right? You can get a kid coming out of college and they can produce. So do not be surprised if we draft a guy that's going to be our future guy, Jalen Wright. I'm going to keep saying that name from Tennessee. Because that kid's a monster. He's a bowling ball that runs 4.3. So, and Emmanuel Wilson's still here too. They just restructured that. I know we're talking all these running backs, right?
Oh,
So they still
good
got
point.
Wilson, who they like, and they bring back AJ Dillon. So there's a lot of room here. To your point, hey, could be a 1 year deal. This could be a 2 year deal. We could find that rookie and bring him along and groom him. Because I don't. The best thing about what happened with Aaron Jones' injuries last year kept him fresh for the playoffs, right? I don't want to run one guy into the ground and we get to December and it's like, man, we killed this one guy. Let's run by committee early and then ride that hot hand in the playoffs. So Jacobs has carried the load. I hope we don't do that with him, this year, where we just grind him away, use everybody, get everybody touches, keep everybody fresh, and then make your run in the playoffs. So that's me. I don't need to have that one workhorse back. Give me three guys. So that's just me, though.
And to your credit, there are some, I'll say, decent to good running backs in this class, but there's not one amazing running back. So I feel like running backs are going to fall in the draft. So you might get a really good player around later than what you'd expect to get too. So yeah, there's definitely, I think, some good options in the draft. Jalen Wright,
I
currently
agree.
one of my top three running backs. And yes, I rank them on fullpresscoverage.com for fantasy football purposes. But who are the best runners is important, and I think Jalen Wright does bring great at the combine, great athleticism. So we'll talk about the drafts more so. My current number one running back is Blake Watson out of Memphis. Have you even heard of him or know who he is, Jesse?
I do. I have heard of him, so I don't know a lot about him, but yeah, just going through mocks. Yeah, he's not a guy that's talked about, but he's interesting. Very
He
interesting
could
back.
be a fifth, sixth round pick, to be honest, and could come in and immediately replace AJ Dillon as the number two running back. Maybe not quite that. I'd expect, Dillon getting re-signed here, as it looks like, I expect him to get a decent workload. I mean, he's had almost 200 carries every year. I think it's basically been about 180 carries per season. To be honest, Josh Jacobs hasn't had someone in his backfield getting that much work, so he might stay fresh. But yeah, 3 seasons in a row, and Dillon did miss 2 games last year too. So it could have even been more. And I think part of the Aaron Jones injury would have been more, but 187, 186, 178 carries over the past 3 seasons. So, yeah, I mean, I think as much as you're bringing in Jacobs and you want to give him a lot of carries, I don't see Dillon getting less than, say, like 175 carries if he plays a full season, which that should
At
help
all.
keep Josh Jacobs fresh. So you bring in a third rookie that you could also spill in, whether it's Wright or Watson. And if I view both as two of the top three running backs in this class, then I think I'm comfortable with the running back situation. I felt like they could have done better. And part of me, unfortunately, so Jesse, I mean, I've talked about it enough. Let's see if the listeners have been paying attention too. But what do I think is the worst move Gutekunst has ever made?
The worst move ever?
Yes. And it was a free agent move. It wasn't a draft pick. It was a free agent move.
Move someone that we brought in, I'm guessing. I'm trying to think here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Someone that was incredibly useless. To be honest, this Aaron Jones situation feels exactly like that. That's the one part that really like, oh, this again. Not even anything to do with on the field performance. The emotional toll on the locker room of you lose this true veteran leader that you've had the whole time through the success. And you're bringing in someone from the outside. Now, I think Josh Jacobs, at any point in his career, but certainly at this point, like when the Packers signed him relative to when they signed this other player, I think Josh Jacobs, far superior player to, you know who I'm talking about, Jesse?
I'm drawing a blank right now. I should know it because
Well, drawing a
I
blank.
remember
Basically,
you ran.
he put up a lot of blanks. It wasn't that great, even though he was supposed to be this elite tight end. At one point, he was, and I
Jimmy
will admit
Graham.
that. Jimmy Graham. When Jimmy Graham signed with the Packers, he was a shell of himself,
We lost
completely
our
useless.
Yep.
Completely useless. So, player-wise, this isn't this. Josh Jacobs is just one year removed from being elite. Jimmy Graham, by the time the Packers got him, it had been like 3, 4 years since he had been elite. Like the curve had come. It had come really fast and hard, and a lot, honestly, several injuries compounded, and he just wasn't the same player. Josh Jacobs could still be an elite level running back, so I'll give it that. But when they signed Jimmy Graham, they did the same thing. They asked Jordy Nelson to take a massive pay cut. Oh, you didn't do it? Well, you're gone, and we're going to give that money to someone else. Now, again, this is not nearly as bad as that, but it's. I think it's up there in terms of the bad moves on Gutekunst. You can maybe understand it more because of the quality of player, but I'll never forgive him for, and that was early in his tenure too. That was like his second year, just taking that move and getting rid of Jordy Nelson. Everyone talks about the Aaron Rodgers friction with the GM being them drafting Jordan Love. I think it started with that Jordy Nelson move. I think that's when it all started, and people just kind of swept that under the rug and ignored it. I'm never going to forget that. But I'll never consider Gutekunst a great GM, probably because of that one move alone. It's so bad and so atrocious. It served no purpose for the Packers. Jimmy Graham was awful. And instead of Nelson retiring a Packer, you get this sour taste that really affected the entire locker room. This didn't just affect Jordy Nelson personally. This affected the whole locker room. And that's my one worry here with this Aaron Jones move. You have this great locker room chemistry last year, built around Jordan Love, Aaron Jones. Yes, Josh Jacobs might be able to come in and replicate that, but he might not either. And so what is does this team not have as much success because they don't have that emotional leader in the locker room? No Bakhtiari either. Like, you knew the Bakhtiari thing was going to happen. I think because of that, it was paramount to keep Aaron Jones. And so that's my one concern, is that the intangibles on the effects on the locker room, we're frankly not going to know that really all season. Can this team win in the playoffs without their emotional leader? Guess we'll find out. And they're going to have to establish new emotional leaders. Maybe now that he's had the full season starting and the success. I mean, now there's more pressure on Jordan Love to be that guy, the quarterback leader of the locker room. So I felt Jones really helped Love with that pressure. Now I'm concerned about this, to be honest.
To be determined, right? But yeah, that's a good point. Jordan Love, that's the next step for him, right? To be that leader. Not saying he can't be, but yeah, when you take out a guy that's respected by everybody, that changes things. So, to be determined. Big shoes to fill. We'll see. We will see.
All right, so let's end on a positive note, Jesse. I mean, frankly, my two favorite moves done in the offseason so far have involved the secondary, and that was the one thing we came entering this offseason was, man, this secondary needs to be addressed. They've got an all-pro corner in Jaire Alexander. I mean, Seems like the trade talks have kind of gone completely away. Again, we've alluded to that in the coaching changes episode. We think Alexander likes Haflin to the point where now he's okay, we're all good. Anything that happened last year, it's behind us. I'm here to I'm with the Packers. Let's go.
Yep, I think so.
But
Let's go.
outside of that, they still had so much to address. Keyshawn Nixon re-signing, so key. I think it's so huge, and at the value they got for it, maybe you spend a little more on a running back. Okay, I get that. But entering there was a name you kept saying, Antoine Winfield. You wanted to sign him as a safety. And unfortunately, was that option wasn't available since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers put the franchise tag on him. But once Winfield was off the market, who was your number one safety available, Jesse?
He's in the green and gold, Xavier McKinney. Easy. Yeah,
And because of how important safety was, could we argue Xavier McKinney was the number one player on the Packers free agent board?
yes, easy. Easy. I think so.
So I won't crucify Gutekunst, and maybe I said earlier I don't think he's a great GM. Maybe that was a little harsh, because this was a fantastic move. This made almost everything else worth it.
Yeah.
To go and get the number one guy available, and they paid for it, but the advantage of not paying wide receivers right now, having this entire receiver core built on rookie contracts, you could save so much money that when that you need that money for key players, it's available. And they signed him to a 4-year, $68 million deal. So Xavier McKinney with the Packers long term here. I mean, you could talk contract value all you want. He was the best safety on the market, so you had to pay top safety price. So they did. So I mean, kudos to them. I love this move.
Oh man, not even best safety on the market. He is a top safety in the league. He's 24 years old. Think about that. So, how many safeties are on the roster right now? Well, Anthony Johnson and some other guy. Anthony Johnson Jr. is 24 years old. So, Xavier McKinney has 4 years in the NFL already. He's an ascending player. He was the number one safety in coverage last year. Just makes plays. Hard-nosed dude. Maybe he's not elite like speed or anything like that. He's just overall a good football player. He's a dog. This was a move. This is a power move. This is, hey, we're not rebuilding all that crap. This is, we're going in. We got our guy. We need a playmaker on the back end of this defense finally. Gone are the Darnell Savage. I flash. I look really good. Then I suck for a month. This is a good football player right here. It's going to be fun. Instantly changes your defense. With a guy like this that can play center field, he can come down in the box. He missed seven tackles last year and he had over 100. That's in today's NFL. Name other safeties that do that. It's just you don't tackle like, it's just a different game, right? This guy puts guys to the ground, he makes plays and he can cover. I love it. I love it. It was like Christmas when I knew there was between us and the Eagles. It's like, oh man, it's gonna get into a bidding war. And then instantly he's a Packer. He
And
said,
to be
say cheese.
fair, like if the Eagles got Saquon and we got Xavier McKinney, I think that's worth it. So like earlier I was
Yeah.
talking about I
Oh,
wanted to go after Saquon. If it meant, okay, we can't spend that big
yeah.
on Saquon because we need McKinney, then yes, I'd rather spend on the safety than the running back just because of how much of a need it was.
Yeah, definitely changes the defense. Hey, Merry Christmas to Halfley. You got your guy. I mean, he taught his first. His first press conference, he was talking about the safety that we need on our defense and how it fits. And to a T, he was talking about Xavier McKinney. So I love it.
Yeah, looking at the other safeties, I mean, there are a few. Yeah, McKinney and Anthony Johnson are. Who's Anthony Johnson? Oh yeah, they list him as a cornerback on SpoTrac. But yes, they're obviously probably right now slotted in to be the two starting safeties. But there's actually a couple guys, Zion Gilbert and Tyler Cole on the roster. They're actually older than McKinney, so it's not like. Young safety group too. So yeah, leaders on the team. I mean, it's going to be Jair, the leader of the secondary, really emotionally, and like he's your guy. Maybe he's a captain. Who knows? There's a couple other guys. Benny Snapp is 23. Christian Young is 23. But yeah, I mean, they could still even address safety further and bring in
Oh, yeah.
competition for McKinney and Anthony Johnson. McKinney's listed as a strong safety, so it does seem like what they're looking for in their other safety is a true center fielder, free safety, last line of defense kind of guy. I think Anthony Johnson fits that role pretty well. So they do naturally have that. There were times especially the Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos pairing, you could flip around who was the strong safety and the free safety. I do wonder if the Packers do less of that. Do you think that McKinney has the ability to play free safety as well?
I do. I think that's where he got had most of his snaps. Is dropping back,
Oh, okay.
right? So he
Interesting.
can do it all. It just depends on how we play this defense. Like I said, his coverage skills. He was the number one ranked safety last year in coverage. So he did play, slot or nickel corner. He did drop back as a free, and they brought him down the box. I think he had three or four sacks. So just a playmaker, man. All around guy. Swiss Army knife, right? I'm not going to compare him to Charles Woodson, but kind of the same thing where you brought in Woodson and it's like, you want him to play corner? Do you want him to play just that guy that just flies around all over the place, right? So this is a fun piece to add to this defense and a kid who's just hitting his prime. And to your point, they might not be done. There's some really good starting safety still sitting out there that the longer this goes on, another week or so, you might get really good value bringing in another guy to pair with this defense. And it doesn't put the pressure that you have to draft in a very weak safety class. And I'm saying that nicely, a very weak safety class. You're not forced to have to take a guy. So just a brilliant move. You got your guy. Let's go.
So I guess well, I guess to talk about how this this safety this secondary will work. And again, McKinney for sure starter. Nixon, I think, earned his role as a starter. Stokes and Alexander, they're starters. Really, it's just that one spot of Anthony Johnson. And frankly, like you said, it there's probably not necessarily rookies coming in to displace them. If they go out in free agency, they still could sign some guys there. But if this is the starting five secondary, I feel pretty good about that. Certainly better than I did a week ago, let's say.
100%. 100%. Stokes' health is still kind of a concern, but hey, it's a great corner class. We're sitting good. Now it's like you add guys to fight either for playing time or really good depth. That's a good spot to be in. I mean, like you said, you kind of know most of your starters. Now you get other guys that can push for those other snaps. There's not many teams in the league that can say they're that deep. I think Green Bay is in a great spot just to. With what they can put on the field and they can still add to it. So, and with a strong front seven, it's time. We've been talking about this defense to be a top five defense for how many years? It's time. Let's be a top five defense.
Right, and and this was part of it. It was to again invest that money towards that, right? So if you save at other positions, stuff like cutting Bakhtiari. I mean, another player they released was Devondre Campbell. Forgot to mention that. I think they end up basically saving most of his contract, or maybe not. Maybe it is just $3 million. I'll have to look up. Yeah, sorry. How much did they save by cutting him?
I think it was 10 million, I believe,
Okay,
somewhere in
10.
there.
Yeah,
That's exactly
I'm
it.
seeing 11 right now, actually. So yeah,
Okay. Yeah.
I guess because they designated a post June 1st, they
Yep.
they saved 11 million, I guess.
Right.
So
So that's a
yeah.
spot
So
where they need players. So, yep.
well, that's part of what you, I mean, you've already used that money on McKinney, right? Like that's part of the moves that you needed to do to make that happen, right? And part of it was again, Jonathan Owens and Darnell Savage, both free agents, and the Packers let both walk. Darnell Savage ended up with the Jaguars. Jonathan Owen with the Bears. And honestly, I saw the John and o Owens contract. I think it was 2 years. Was it 4 or 6 million? Like it wasn't very much. It was
Right.
maybe would have liked to see the Packers match that. But then yeah, the Jags paid Savage pretty handsomely to the point where yeah, we think we were okay. So it was a 3 year contract. We were okay letting Savage walk. But then getting McKinney, oh yeah, certainly love the way that worked out. So all in all, I would have to give Gutekunst a very good grade. Again, the Aaron Jones thing I'm not happy about, but for the most part, this team is better than or yes, especially defensively, significantly better than it was a week ago. So yes, kudos to Gutekunst.
Oh yeah, and like I said, we have a little bit to play with yet. They might not be done. They might add another value piece to your point, talking about linebackers, a little thin there. So we'll see. Especially going to an even front base, you're going to need three guys that can stand up off ball linebackers. So, yeah, not ripping Ted Thompson, but you can see that Goody's a little bit more free agency. So I like that.
Yeah, but that isn't always a good thing. It, hence
Not
Jimmy
always.
Graham, right?
But this kind of feels like when he brought in the Smith brothers and Billy Turner, he brought in and Adrian Amos. So he brought in four
Yeah.
starters.
Oh, he has made a lot of good moves. I shouldn't just focus on the Jimmy Grahams of the world.
Well, one's enough. So
Oh. Yeah. But I guess it's funny how, not that this was a trade, but the Packers signed Xavier McKinney away from the Giants. The Giants signed John Runyan away from the Packers. Like, okay, yeah, but definitely we'll take that. Sad to
feel
see
fine with
John
that.
Runyan go. I mean, starting right guard, but we talked about how there were really only two locks on the offensive line, and really still are. Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom, and really they, especially Jenkins, can literally play anywhere on the line. So while you would pencil him in as left guard and then Zach Tom at right tackle, there is also some fluidity that they could do with that. But no Bakhtiari. Means right now, Rashid Walker's at left tackle, Josh Myers at center, and I'd imagine the favorite right now, Sean Ryan at right guard. Am I right there, Jesse? Is there someone you think would right now be more likely a starter?
No, I think he's penciled in right now, but he's still going to have to earn it. They're going to draft offensive linemen, right? They're going to bring in.
And that was my point. I think you can afford to maybe even increase any of those three spots, left tackle, center, or right guard. Not that I think they'll be able to increase at all three of them, but really, I think you could be pretty flexible in terms of just draft offensive linemen. Doesn't matter tackle, center, or guard. You could use that depth really at all three of those positions. So yeah, whatever at any point you are in the draft, just take whatever and like the best player available is an offensive lineman. Just take it because it doesn't worry about what position they play on the O-line. If that's the starting five for the Packers, maybe a little less extent than what we were saying about the secondary, but if that's the starting five, that's acceptable. That's at least a league average offensive line. But there is still room for improvement. Certainly there's room to put depth behind them. So yeah, I think the O-line's in a good spot. Zach Tom's still on a rookie contract. Jenkins, forget how long Jenkins is signed for at this point, because I believe he's now on his second contract.
Yep, he is. We got a few years with him
Yeah,
still.
he's been getting paid $14 million. He signed through 2026, so 3 more seasons with Elgton Jenkins. I mean, they could cut him in the next 2 years because his cap hit will start to increase. I wonder if a restructure is even in place.
Yeah, they'll
Maybe
work
not. I
some.
mean, next year his cap hit goes up by $3 million, and then but then it's a $7 million jump from 2025 to 2026. So entering that 2026 season, I wonder if that's where an extension comes in place and restructure and lower that cap hit down a little bit off the 24.8 it currently is if you give more long-term years. So at least you know you've got Jenkins there at this as this anchor. He has been the anchor on the O-line the last couple seasons, but we've expected it to be Bakhtiari going in. Now we know it is Jenkins. Like, this is your best offensive lineman. He is going to be the leader on the field, but also probably off the field too. And like he's another guy that you really have to now step up as a leader for everyone. And by all reports, it seems like he's a great teammate. He is that guy, but it's also the pressure of again, him and again, more specifically Jordan Love, do they take on too much responsibility to overcompensate for a loss of a guy like Aaron Jones? That's the one thing I just hope that they don't. I hope that it's still within them to play at their best while still coming out of their shell a little bit and becoming more leaders. So that's the thing. We've seen Elgton Jenkins play at an all pro level. So I think we could trust him to take on that extra responsibility and still be excellent as he always is. But yeah, I think the O-line could still have some improvements to it. So stay tuned. I mean, heck, there might still be some free agents out there that they could go and sign too. Just like we talked about with safety and running back, frankly.
Yeah, I don't think they're done. And to your point, sitting in a good spot, and that's a good problem to have, right? Hey, we're good with what they have right now, but if we can always add something just in a little bit, I mean, that's just icing on the cake, right? So yeah, stay tuned. But so far, so good. Good start for the Packers in the new year.
Yeah, and we'll return in a couple weeks here on the podcast. If there's been any more Packers news, we'll definitely address that. But I figure, Jesse, we could look a little more wholeheartedly at free agency in general, some of the biggest contracts signed around the league. So that could be something we focus on the next episode in a couple weeks. What do you say there? Already planning things for the listeners.
Hey, that sounds good. We can talk combine. We can talk draft. Hey, I'm not scared. Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. And I figure we'll do a couple episodes in April talking about our probably The way I'm planning it out, like, let's just lay all the cards on the table for everyone now. Expecting at least two episodes in April before the NFL draft. One to focus on the defense, because we talked about that's if we can. I think there's the potential to really turn this into a championship caliber defense. So figure we'll the first episode we'll talk about that or see what type of especially what type of elite defensive prospects might be available for the Packers in the first round and beyond. Then you know another episode to focus on the offense. I'll get really into details of those late round running backs. Expect the Packers to draft a receiver. Part of the idea of building this receiving corps solely around rookie contracts. You kind of have to keep replenishing those. So just because they already have a ton of rookie contract receivers doesn't mean they won't. And in fact, the opposite shows they probably will draft another receiver at some point in the draft, maybe even in the second round. So I think certainly, you know, a defensive episode, an offensive episode worth talking a lot. We've already mentioned, you know, offensive linemen, right? That so there's still you know, there's still a lot to be done when it comes to the draft. So again, we'll talk free agency next time in a couple weeks, a couple April episodes for the draft, and then suddenly, the NFL draft will be here in May. We'll be talking about which players the Packers drafted. So, no, already a pretty established off-season schedule here, but off to a, I think, a great start, especially with the Xavier McKinney and Keyshawn Nixon combo in the middle of that defense, I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm with you. Everything you said sounds great to me. Yeah, looking forward to the draft, and yeah, we'll see. Plenty more to do before we get into training camp and all that good stuff.
There's plenty to talk about. And of course, you can always follow us and interact on X at FPC underscore Packers. You can also follow your co-hosts individually at Hall underscore J Hall 1212 is Jesse's. I said that right? Did I say that right?
Did
What's
say that
your... All
right.
right, good. Yeah, more conviction next time, hopefully. I'm at Senra Says. At least I know that one. I say that enough. And also a shout out to PA the Second on X at PA underscore II official. He lets us use the song Odayewu as our intro and outro music. It's off of his latest EP, the Illa U album. So also check that out. It was released late in 2023, so still pretty new. Illah, the letter U, and then again that's PA the Second. So appreciate that, and appreciate you, Jesse. I think this was a great episode. Thanks for dealing with my negativity and going through it and pulling me out of that. I really appreciate you as a co-host. You made this fantastic.
Anytime, Kyle. Anything to help the Packers. Go Pack.
Yep. Go Pack, go. And I guess we gotta go, but we'll see you next time. Full Press Packers Pod.